kind of believe anything about that.
Okay. So the question for you, during the process of evolution, human animal, there is a mammal, still is now, but it was different from other mammals, developed the cognitive functions, and it was found that the Homo sapiens the human being was mostly the two groups of it, the one that eat meat, the other one that eat plant, and actually it looks like eating the meat was helping the brain to develop faster. What do you think made the human animal to evolve faster than other mammals? Back to you.
I don't know if they evolved faster. It is a misconstruing of the whole concept of evolution. It kind of presupposes that intelligence and humanity is the pinnacle of evolution and everything's racing towards that. That's not how things work. Different organisms evolve and modify to optimize their ability to survive their environment. Our environment in the savannas of Africa benefited from a high-protein diet. Human beings are not particularly carnivores. They're omnivores, so it gives you a chance of everything. So given a source of energy-rich foods and the ability to actually change environment is very costly on in energy. Other animals burn a lot less in their brain than we do. We spend a lot of energy being cognitively aware. So it has to have an evolving benefit, and it did at that place at that time. At another place, another time, it might have been against evolutionary needs, and people could have evolved to be dumber than they were. So, you know, again, it's a very complicated question with probably a very complicated, yet to be figured out answer.
Okay, and the last question that I have for you, I kind of tell you, like, so we had, after the Second World War, the American nation was kind of slimy guys, and now we have obesity all over. What happened, what affected human-animal from 40s to human-animal of 2024 in that area?
Well, you know, it's neither black nor white. My opinion, great deal, is that it is American corporations, marketing, and the fast food industry makes billions and billions of dollars. Desserts and all kinds of food are designed to be somewhat addictive. So if they're addicting people, they tend not to slow down or stop, and they stuff their faces because it makes them feel better, and people want to feel better even if it makes them sick down the road. So the American public has relatively inexpensive, relatively tasty, high-calorie foods full of fats, starches, sugars that people love to stuff in their face, that those get supplied directly to every portion of their body. And, unfortunately, 100, 150 years ago, the food industry was much more primitive. People were just kind of grinding up grains and such, and not pouring immense amounts of sugar or anything. But nowadays, everything has a lot of sugar and fats.
Okay, thank you very much for your help and Paul. Hubble Space Telescope celebrating 34th years of anniversary. I believe microphone to you. It's the time to where you decide.
Yep, it's time for the SpaceNet report with Paul WS2N. Paul, you go.
Okay, thanks, Roy. And This is WS2N for the Space Net report for the TechNet. And, yeah, looking at the information that I had about Voyager. We'll talk about that later, if you stick around, Wes. Okay, before I start, if you get the log, the Limoc log, I sent an article in there about the eclipse that we all went through. So I think it's well worth reading if you get a chance. That's in the May log, the new one that just came out. Okay, I was going to talk about the Doomsday plane. Let me try to... The Doomsday plane is a plane that the United States has. We have like four of them. And the Secretary of Defense and other people would go into this thing if there was, you know, a major, like nuclear event or something like that. You know, Air Force One, of course, is equipped its own way, but this thing is equipped for the, to have the military, be able to direct everybody no matter what happens. This thing can avoid an EMP, the electromagnetic pulse if one occurs from a nuclear blast or thing. It has the capability of refueling, so it could stay up there. And there's only one available 24 hours a day. So we have four of them, and if one is being worked on, then the other one has to be ready to go. Getting older, these are basically 77 planes been converted, and now a new contract has been given out, and it's a $13 billion contract. And I thought it would, of course, go to Boeing. But for some reason, it went to Sierra Nevada. And Sierra Nevada, as far as I know, made any planes, but they are making the Dream Chaser spacecraft, which should be sometime this year. The frame gets pushed back all the time. About a year or two ago, we were saying, this April it should have been launched. But sooner or later, it's going to be launched on the Vulcan rocket, the new Vulcan rocket that Boeing and Lockheed build that Boeing rocket. So, it's strange that the Air Force let that contract out to Sierra Nevada for $13 instead of Boeing. I found that interesting. The existing planes have been around 1970s. Time is ticking by, and it's time for new ones. Any comments?
No comment, Paul. This is Charlie. I'm listening tonight.
Hi, Charlie. Glad you're still there. And we have a few topics we can go through here. The Starliner, also built by Boeing, will do its first crewed launch this coming Monday. Not tomorrow, but the following Monday, May 6th. Nighttime flight. I think it's 10:34 at night, standard time. I'll be going up on an Atlas V rocket. And Atlas V, I believe it's their 100th flight. They've had, like every one of the Atlas V's, been successful. And this time, the Atlas V could go up with either one, two, or five solid boosters attached to it. With the Starliner, it will be going up with two solid boosters. So this will be the first crew flight up to the International Space Station for Starliner. You remember, years ago, there was friendly competitions between SpaceX and Boeing. Who's going to be the first one to send a commercial crewed vehicle up to the International Space Station? And contracts will let out to both of them, by NASA. And as the years went by, it turned out SpaceX won. They put their first crew of two people on its flight in 2020. Here we are almost 4 years later, and they've done at least seven flights to the space station for NASA, and then there's two others that they've done imminently. So a total of nine flights. Starliner has not made it up with the crew yet. Starliner was launched It was 2019 for the first time for a test flight without a crew. SpaceX did the same thing. You know, before they sent crews up, they sent an unmanned flight up to the space station to see if it could dock and successfully return. And that was the goal of Boeing back in 2019. And that didn't work out because they had some problems with the computers. The timing was off between the, you know, the launch sequence and the onboard computer on Starliner. So they had to fix that. They had to fix a few things. And long story short, that they never made it to the International Space Station. It was supposed to, but they decided to deorbit it. They thought it was different in a different location in space, so it took too much fuel. So they brought it back. And it landed successfully where it's supposed to, New Mexico, a place called White Sands, New Mexico, on solid ground. SpaceX lands in the ocean or the water, and this thing lands on land. This one also had the capability, if it had to, it could land on water. But it came down successfully. It's got these, you know, after it lands, it's got airbags, you know, for a cushion. It's designed to fly 10 different times. They built a couple of these things so far. So it took them a little over a year, and they launched again, straightened all their problems out, and again with an uncrewed vehicle. Again, the goal for NASA is to attach an uncrewed vehicle to the space station first, return it successfully, and they won't put a crew in until they... And that worked out okay, but they realized they had some other problems. They had some valves for the RCS, the control rockets that they have on board. Some of them weren't working right. They went through all these different problems over the last year again, and now they are finally ready to send a crew up. Again, they're just going to send two people up. It's designed to carry, it could carry up to seven, but it's designed for four people on a regular basis. Because it's a test flight, we'll have two.
Paul, I got a question.
Okay, one second. These two people are Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore. And they've both been up three different times. Another flight for them. But they've gone up in different vehicles. They've gone up in the Soyuz spacecraft, independently of one another. Gone up in the space shuttle, and now they're going to try the Starliner. And they've been working with Boeing for years now, helping design, and you know, giving their okay and advice to the engineering designers of Starliner. So looking forward to that. Next on a Monday, Charlie. Over to you. What? The W2M.
Yeah, last week you touched on the Mars drone that crashed, and now they got a new one coming up.
Mars helicopter that they fired 72 different times on Mars, and now it's the blade broken and it can't fly anymore, that one?
Correct. They got a new one coming up with six rotor blades. Is this going to be enough to lift and fly around?
There's a couple of different missions planned. Okay, the one that we're talking about that no longer is operating is called Ingenuity, and it has two blades, and each blade is like 4 feet long. And they spin off one another. And it's only, well, Earth is roughly a 4-pound object. It's very light, and it has skin and everything, and it's been very successful for the last couple of years, 2.5 years. The Mars missions for the future, they are planning two more helicopters. They haven't figured out yet exactly when they're going to go, or you know, their mission exactly. They have a good idea what they might do with these two, but they're going to be a little bit bigger, similar type of design, with you know, same rotors. You know, you got a payload on the bottom, and then you got the shaft coming up, and then just two blades coming off of that one going counterclockwise, the other one clockwise. And they want two more of these similar designs to Italy, except a little bit bigger. And that's one mission, you know, future Mars mission, and then in the future other missions. You know, they definitely plan on using helicopters because Ingenuity was so successful. You're probably talking about the one with a whole lot of blades, and I believe it's going to be a total of 8 blades, two in one corner. So, and it's going to be a heavy device. This is going to be like a, you know, 1,000-pound unit. But it's not going to Mars. It's going to Titan, one of the moons of Saturn, Metropolis.
Okay, then I must have looked at that wrong, because the next drone is supposed to possible launch of 26. Propellers that they were going to send to Mars didn't look big enough to lift up a drone, a helicopter, whatever you want to call it, and fly it around. And I got a little nervous when I saw it.
Okay, yeah, I haven't seen the one that you're talking about yet, but the one... These things are not... I haven't seen the design on one, two Mars ones. I haven't seen the design on the one that's going to Titan, the moon around Saturn. And that's called Dragonfly. And if you put in Dragonfly mission to Titan, you can see what this thing looks like. And when that comes through the atmosphere on Titan, it'll come through with a, you know, heat shield. It'll come through with a parachute, and then eventually we'll have a crane type setup, which will lower the helicopter. But before it hits the ground, the cables will be cut. The helicopter's blades will spin, and this thing will fly to a landing. And of course, it will be reusable. It'll be able to take off and fly from place to place. It's going to be run with RTG, radioisotope thermoelectric generator, to keep this thing constantly powered, you know, recharging its batteries on a regular basis. But yeah, okay, Charlie, that attitude I had in mind. But we'll look forward to some of these things in the future. Back to you, Charlie.
Okay, so this one's going to the moon around Saturn. What's the density? Because these blades have to hold, they have to move air. So I mean, what is the density in Saturn, and is it able to lift?
Oh, yeah, no problem there. The moon of Titan has a dense atmosphere. So, I can look it up real quick. I forgot how many bar it is. Each bar is an atmosphere. But it's many more. It's a lot more than that. A lot than we here on Earth. So, you know, the blades don't have to be that big to lift anything. And plus the gravity on this moon is less than... actually, it's around very similar to what we have on our moon, around 1/6 of the gravity, so you won't have a problem with that. And, you know, the Mars deal, that's different. It's called sea level, so there's no sea on Mars, is 1/100th of the atmosphere that we have here, 1/100th of a bar. That's similar to, like, flying a helicopter at 100,000 feet. Well, you can't take... If you took a helicopter off from Earth right here and took off, you're not going to make it up to 100,000 feet. This thing was specially designed to do that. I think the rotors on Earth helicopters are 300 to 400 RPMs. The RPMs of the Ingenuity helicopter on Mars was... 2,000 to around 2,400, they could adjust it on the air. When they set up transmissions, they could adjust the speed, whatever they're planning on doing. That was over 2,000 RPM. Dragonfly is probably, close to what we have here, probably, maybe, I would probably 200-300 RPM. I haven't seen any details on that yet, but you won't need that. But because it's a heavier unit that they're going to be flying around, I haven't seen the weight of it, but it looks pretty big. You're going to need blades on four different corners of this thing. And then each corner, you're going to have two blades, one counterclockwise, the other one clockwise. So you have a total of eight blades for Dragonfly, Charlie.
That's correct. That is correct. Okay, back to you, Paul.
Okay, real good. We have this Artemis mission that's planned, Artemis 3. They already have the crew picked out for it. It's a four-person crew. Christina Cook is the one lady that's going up. She's been up before. One fellow from Canada, the commander, he's been up before as well. And another missionalist has also been up, Rover, I think his name is. But they've been picked, and the plan was, or is still, to launch on an SLS space launch system, the new rocket that NASA designed. And, of course, on top of that, you have the Orion spacecraft. No, not the Starliner. That's the one we just talked about. The Starliner is for, just for going from Earth to space. But Orion, of course, is designed to go to the moon. And eventually, they plan on using on Mars missions as well. So the plan was to send these four people that have been chosen. And the flight was supposed to go off at the end of this year, but there's been some delays because they want to make some changes on the heat shield of the Orion spacecraft to next September, not this September, but the following September. Was the plan. They were going to orbit the moon and come back and then land in the Pacific Ocean. It'll be the first time Americans are getting anywhere near the moon since 1970. Two when Apollo 17 did it. But now there's a possibility. I've read a couple of different locations, different websites. I can't confirm it yet, but they don't know themselves. But they're starting to think, because of the delays of Starship, Starship is playing an important role. It's being built by Elon Musk. In fact, Starship is supposed to hang out by the moon, wait for Orion and the crew to show up. Two of the four will eventually transfer to Starship and land on the moon. Now that's planned for Artemis. So three would orbit the moon, four would actually land on the moon. But Starship is kind of like behind schedule. And they're also thinking, maybe we ought to do this a little differently. On a first flight, to have both vehicles out by the moon, a quarter of a million miles away, and have a crew transfer into the other vehicle, the Starship would go down and then come back up. If everything works fine, that's fine. But they're thinking, well, maybe we should do this in Earth orbit first. Send Starship up in Earth orbit. Send the space launch system up with Orion spacecraft. Instead of going to the moon, stay in Earth orbit and do the transfer and all the different tests you need to do with people in Earth orbit. If you have a problem, you're near Earth. You're not a quarter of a million miles away. Let me drop it.
It's correct to do it in our own atmosphere. So if something does go wrong, we're right there.
Yeah, QSL, Charlie. And I don't know if you were around with him. In 69, early 69, March, when Apollo 9 went up and had a similar deal. You had all the different Apollo missions. You had actually a total of 11 missions that were manned missions. You had Apollo 7 tested out the Apollo spacecraft without the lunar module. They set it up. That's the way NASA does things. You set the crew of three up to orbit Earth for a couple of weeks, and they came back down and landed. Apollo 8, they said, yeah, let's send that thing up. They had some discussions of what we're going to do next. They were worried that the Russians were going to put a man around the moon first, so they said, let's send Apollo 8. We don't need the lunar module. It wasn't ready anyway. That was being built here on Long Island over in Bethpage. It just wasn't ready. So let's do this. Let's see if everything works out. Fly around the moon 10 times and come back. And they did, successfully. No problem. And then after that, you know, they said, you know, now one of the LEMs were ready. But, you know, instead of sending a LEM and Apollo to the moon, and again, testing, you know, the idea of sending three people in Apollo, you know, yet transferring two people to another completely different vehicle, and then, you know, testing it out, you know, we don't want to do that around the moon. Let's do it around the Earth. And that's what they did with Apollo 9. And I think whoever was writing this article, that, you know, it sounds like they know what they're doing. I think it might be better. You know, it's not as, you know, classy as, you know, oh, let's, you know, we're going to have somebody flying around the moon in an Artemis 3 and then come back. Let's take Artemis 3, fly it around the Earth, dock with the Starship that SpaceX is building, and let's see if we could transfer crews. Let's see if we could, you know, all the engines will work properly. And let's see if, you're supposed to have a crew transfer, and then the Starship is supposed to light its engines a couple of different times to bring it all the way down to the moon and then take off again. Let's duplicate the firing of the engines. That's what they did with Apollo 9. They were docked together, and they actually tested the lunar descent engines in orbit around Earth, attached to Apollo. And, you know, it was a good thing that they did, because little did they know, a few flights later, that Apollo 13 would have eventually run into a similar problem. They were trying to make it moon, and that didn't work out because they had an explosion on board. But one of the things Apollo 13 did was utilize the attached LEM they used their engine, the descent engine, to accelerate and maneuver in space. And, naturally, the public thought, well, this has never been done before. It actually was. It was done with Apollo 9 as a test. Would we be able to use the descent module, the lunar module, to, in an emergency situation? I think they should do that with Artemis 3, Earth orbit, and worry about Artemis 4 later, you know, going to the moon. Any comments? WS2S.
Yes, I remember when they were doing it. In 1909, I was 15 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty close to what I was. I guess I was 16. I know when I landed on the moon, I was 17, so I was probably 16 in March. And I remember that well. Very good, Charlie. Let me just stand by a second. Sometimes I don't drop it long enough for Echo Link.
New officers,
Echo's
okay. That was the Snoopy and Charlie Brown mission, wasn't it? WB2BSO.
Hi, Frank. Oh, the Apollo 9, that was Gumdrop and Spider. Spider, because it looked at the legs and they called it Spider. So that was Gumdrop and Spider, Frank.
Yeah, I know it was one or the other. I know they were criticized for Snoopy and Charlie Brown views later on. As, oh, come on, after you use those very serious names for Apollo 11, you're doing this? Maybe that was Apollo 12. But anyway, yeah, you're right. I'm sure that it was Spider and Gumdrop mission. Go ahead.
Yeah, I only know that because I was just looking when I talked about the possibility of doing Earth orbit. But I know one of them that they did that. You know, they duplicated the same type of thing in lunar orbit
see. Now, okay, so 8 goes up, that's orbits the moon coming back. 9, we just talked about, Earth orbit. And then the next mission, they knew they had the capability of actually landing on the moon, but they said, let's do everything what we did on 9, let's do it on 10, but we'll do it in Earth orbit, lunar orbit, and that's what they did. So, in fact, Eugene Cernan was commander of that mission, and he was thinking about, when going around on Apollo 10, let's see if we could land this thing, kidding around. Because they did everything that Apollo 11 eventually would do. Testing out the radar, everything they needed to do. They got down very low to the surface, but of course they didn't land. They went up and redocked with the Columbus module and came back to Earth that way. And then, of course, after that, Apollo 11, was the grand finale. And then you had missions after that, of course, all the way up to 17. And that was the end. This Apollo vehicle. The Apollo vehicle, they kept making more of these things. They just didn't use it for the Apollo missions. They used three more for Skylab. Skylab after that. So, very, very good vehicle. And then one more after that for the, when they docked up with the Russians. Apollo Soyuz mission. Very successful. Now, the difference, big difference between Artemis with the Orion spacecraft. Orion was actually being built to be reusable. It's not going to be reusable, but in the future, they might make future Orions reusable where the Apollo ones were, one time only. And then Starliner, the one that's going up next Monday, and hopefully it goes up. A lot of times on these first flights, they scrub the mission for some reason, but hopefully it goes up next Monday. And that thing is built for 10 reflights, and they, that'll come back down, and that will be refurbished, and will fly again. And they built 3 or 4 that work on these things. I think they have plans of doing it right now. They're happy with 2. They have 2 of these things completed. So we'll see. Any comments for the net? I heard a station. I heard somebody talking, but I didn't really hear it. Trying to
peel off the little fingers. Can you hear me?
I heard. Can you hear me now? Go ahead.
This is Paul, correct?
Not really staying in there. Maybe try a little bit later. We'll get one more try. Try again.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so I was listening last week, and you were saying how you can't see the launch from New York. Well, the thing is, when it's launching at that high of an inclination, which is like 51 degrees to the ISS, the pack will probably fly in view of New York, provided it launches at night. I have some dragon flights go up, so I know it is definitely possible. So,
a little tough to copy on that. What's the call letter there? I missed the call letter. And name.
Kilo off Echo Golf Tango.
Okay, Golbuster Tango. Very good. I caught the tail end of it. All right, well, got a few more minutes left, but need a little bit more power. Just can't really copy it. I just want to talk about this other mission, the New Glenn that's planned on going up, being built by Jeff Bezos with Blue Origin. And that will supposed to launch as early as this September. And that will have 2 satellites on there, and those satellites are going to Mars. And it's called the Escape Mission. So they have a big, long name for it. I wrote it down here. escape and plasma acceleration and dynamics explorer mission. So anyway, it's two small satellites that NASA's going to put into orbit Mars, and they want to check out the magnetic field, magnetic field affects the planet. They're small satellites. But the reason they're going to go up on that flight, that's the first flight for the New Glenn rocket. It'll have seven engines on it. They call them BE-4 engines. They successfully launched. They launched two of those engines for the first time on a Vulcan rocket maybe 2 months ago. And that was very successful. And they plan on doing the same, except with seven engines, so it's a much bigger rocket. This is like a Saturn V size type of rocket that New Glenn is. And on its inaugural flight, they figured, well, send it to Mars. Why fool around? And NASA's going to put two of these satellites up. But hopefully that works out. And then they plan on many flights after that. This company is planning on having reusable boosters. They plan on coming down, landing. They have a drone ship that they're going to land on. And we'll see how that works out. There should be a lot of action in the next couple of years. That's for sure. Another mission coming up.
That's time. Complete.
Your Clipper. I won't go too much into that, but that's going to be launched Falcon Heavy. And it should be launched toward the end of the year. I think as early as late September, probably October. So we're looking forward to those missions. A couple of other flights. Before I close, the moon's going to get its own time. NASA needs a new time zone for the moon. And they're going to call the... the regular time zone, call the coordinated lunar time. Instead of UTC, it's going to be a coordinated coordinated lunar time. It's going to be actually different than what we have here on Earth. It's not going to be different time zones around the moon. It's just going to be one time, and it's going to be like microseconds off compared to what we have here. And the reason for it is relativity. Moon in motion also has different gravitational field, 1/6 of what we have here. If you have bodies on Earth and you go up to, let's say, where the geosynchronous satellites are, or even halfway between that distance where the GPS satellites are, the clocks are running at a different time on a GPS compared to where they are on Earth. It's barely noticeable, but it's there. It's important for exact locations on Earth. Well, they need the same thing on the moon. The moon is going to be slightly different. And I could envision many flights going to the moon. They have private companies and plenty of flights that are planned by NASA and these private companies. They need to have, precise landing in different locations, down to a meter or two. And one way to do that is exact timing. And if you don't have, if you don't have an exact clock that everybody's going by, if we're going by Earth, you might be millisecond off. And who knows, at those speeds, you could be hundreds, if not thousands, of more miles away from where you're supposed to be landing. So I thought that was interesting. Coordinated lunar time. Any comments before I close? WS2N.
No comments.
Okay, thanks for being there, Charlie. Other comments? Nothing heard. We're going to turn it over to you, Roy, ACTGS. This is WS2N, SpaceNet Report for the TechNet. We'll be on tomorrow night. Tomorrow is the Club Info Net. Back to you, Roy.
AC2GS. Thank you, Paul. Thank you for all that you do for the SpaceNet Report, all that you do for the Technical Net, all that you do for the club. We all appreciate it, and I especially appreciate it. And I appreciate everyone who participated tonight. Hope you have a good week. Hope you come back and join us next Sunday night at 8 p.m. when we'll try and do this all over again. Our rebels now are done, and Dick K2RIW would end his technical net. He always advised people to be kind to each other. That's always good. I always like to slip in good old hepatitis. It's possible for a man to learn what he thinks he already knows. Try to keep your mind open and learn something new every day. If you don't use it, you lose it. So have a great week. Be well. Stay safe. This is AC2GS, and I will close and clear with the usual closing comment that I've gotten lately. Slava Ukraine.
73. I'll speak to you next week.
Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
Flymark info tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 o'clock a.m.
Limark Info, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Limark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Limark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Limark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
One UBT monitoring.
Limark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Bravo 2, Mike Sierra Bravo Mobile, listening.
This is KD2 KNH Mobile. A lot of static and low audio. Are you on an HT?
Definitely, yes, I am.
Well, I can just barely make you out over the static. So that's the best report I can give you from the car. But it's KD2 KNH, Kilo Delta 2 Kilo November Hotel. But you have a good day. And that was totally unreadable. KD2 KNH 73.
Good morning. I just heard KB2, didn't hear the rest. This is AA2GC. The name here is Ted, Tango Echo Delta.
Hello, Ted. Name is Charlie. Kilo Delta 2, Kilo November Hotel.
Good morning, Charlie. Just running errands. I think this must be the warmest day we've had so far.
Yes. Nice and sunny as well. It should have been yesterday.
It's up that way. Same thing is that when it's pouring out, you know I have to walk the dog.
And that's why I have indoor cats.
Very, very good idea, Charlie. Are you working today or are you just out and about? It sounds the way you were talking before like you are working.
Oh, absolutely working. I'm 67. I've only got 10 or 15 more years to retire.
Wow, I'm 3 years older than you, but I have about 20 years before I retire.
Well, I guess that all depends on who gets in the next election, but we're not supposed to talk politics.
Well, all I know is that my wife likes to buy stuff for my grandchildren, so off to work.
Well, that's what it's all about. Much as you can. My daughter, people used to think that my wife had a daycare center. So all the lawn toys and whatnot. And in the house as well. But, wives love to spend, they like to spoil children and grandchildren.
That is just what it's all about. I can't believe how nice it is. The cross thermometer says 73 degrees. And I'm in Oceanside, New York. What's your location, Charlie?
Well, I just left Fort Jeff, and I'm using my GPS, so I can't see my temperature here, but I'm assuming it's around the same.
Probably warmer where you are than where I am. Well, I'm not far from the water. I put a HF wire on my roof. For the first time in like 30 years, I've been off of HF. I don't know if you do HF, but I had a radio that was sitting around for a long time. And when you're busy at work, you don't have time to play, but I'm off today. So after I run my errands, I'm going to see what kind of stuff I can find with the antenna I put up.
KD2KNH. Well, I wish you well. I haven't touched my HF radio in like a couple of months, and I went downstairs yesterday, and conditions were terrible. I couldn't even make FT8 contacts, so I hope conditions are better for you.
Well, having not been on for 30-plus years, it's fun to just dial around and just listen. It's good to hear something, so I'll see what it's like later, but... It's a novelty after having not been on the air so many years. I have a very old Kenwood 440 AT.
Oh, very good. I hope it works for you.
I know when they sit around a while, sometimes they don't like to come back to life, but I'm new to the hobby compared to most hams, only, I think, 6 or 7 years now, and so all my equipment's new, and I really know nothing of the older stuff.
Well, the radio I have has been sitting around so long that I don't know about the older stuff anymore either. The one thing about not using something so long is new when you take it out.
Yes, I guess you get to learn all over again after 30 years. I mean, sometimes I sit down at my radio and try to remember which menu I'm going to. And I was, you know, was able without even thinking previously. So a couple goes by. Couldn't imagine the years.
Yeah, I'm going to do a lot of listening and just get a feel for the nets and what's on the bands and stuff I hadn't done in so long that I don't remember etiquette as much as I used to. So things like that. And I am almost at my first stop, so I will say 7-3, but thank you for keeping me company, Charlie. I will be in and out at times, so may talk to you later this day, 2GC.
Very good, Ted, and your timing is wonderful. I'm just up to my stop as well. KD2KNH clear, 73. You have a good day.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
AA2GC. I get a little noisy. Are you at home or hanging out somewhere else? AA2GC.
Actually, I'm on my way to get the car and take to a dental appointment.
I just heard you were on your way to get the car and a little noise built up so I couldn't hear the rest of it. What a beautiful day. 75 degrees where I am. It must be warmer where you are.
Walking through a big mountain, gorgeous. I don't think there's a cloud in the sky. And I'm taking my wife to her dentist.
You were a little spotty there. I just heard wife to the dentist and not a cloud in the sky. So I hope you're enjoying your day.
Oh, yeah, very much. I'm surprised I'm so spotty.
Yeah, that's kind of noisy. Can you turn the power up a little bit? Maybe just in this bad spot.
That's all I got, but I'll 7-3, but enjoy this gorgeous day. And don't work too hard, and I'll catch you later. KTUTF.
KTUTF AA2GC. Have a good day, Gary. Talk to you later.
W2O